Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you'd like to follow along, please turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. My subject today and my title today is the word peace. Peace. In these days of protests and riots and general turmoil, earthly peace is scarce. I mean, I hear them, and I understand what they're saying. You know, we want a peaceful protest, okay? I know what they mean, but the definition of a protest is a protestation. Generally, it means you're against something. Now, some people may be more violently against something than others. And I've got nothing against protests. They don't work with God, but as far as this world is concerned, some protests have done some nice things, some good things. But you can't have a protest without having a conflict with something. It's not a peaceful act. People say, I don't like those protests. Well, you know, the definition of a protest is you're not supposed to like it. Maybe. I don't know. Some see peace as the absence of war or the absence of conflict. And that's what I'm calling earthly peace. It's not the peace of God. And it's not the peace that Paul's writing of here. And unfortunately, we humans haven't had an earthly peace since the early days in the Garden of Eden. There's been one conflict after another, one way or another. There have been wars and rumors of wars, and there still are. It's like that old joke, y'all heard this? About David. David fought with Goliath. David fought with the Philistines. David fought with the Edomites. And David fought with the forces of Amalek. And you know what the world draws from those facts? They draw David couldn't get along with anyone. That's the way the world looks at it. We live in conflict in this world, with the world around us and in ourselves. We argue, we fuss, and we fight because there is no peace in this world, period, other than the peace of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to get this out of the way first so I can get to the good stuff. I'm going to make a statement here. There is no peace, I'm going to specify, no true peace for the unbeliever. For the unbeliever. Those who do not know Jesus Christ have no peace, even if they think they do. And they don't even know anything about true peace. And here's the thing, an unbeliever never will. Now, I know that's a bold statement, but it's scripture. I'm not making it up. You don't have to turn there. But in Isaiah 48, verse 22, and in Isaiah 57, 21, Isaiah wrote this, as the word of the Lord. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And in Isaiah 59 and verse 8, he said this, the way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein, what? Shall not know peace. Now, I know I said unbeliever, and Isaiah said the wicked, but take my word for it, they're both the same thing. I said unbeliever because that's what we're dealing with today. Isaiah said the wicked, but the wicked don't know the way of truth. No peace, and the way of peace they don't know. And then he said, God says, they shall not know peace. The unbeliever doesn't know peace, and he shall not. And the scripture doesn't lie. Thus saith the word of God. Thus saith the Lord himself. If you think about it, Paul reiterates this in Romans chapter 3. I might turn there for just a second. Romans chapter 3, there's that litany about the both Jews and Gentiles in verse 9, that they are all under sin. And then Paul starts. And all this is pretty much quoted from the Old Testament. As it is written in the Old Testament, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat's an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Then Paul says this, and the way of peace have they not known. Why is destruction and misery in their ways? They built crooked paths. That's Jew and Gentile, unbelievers. And he ends up with, there is no fear of God before their eyes. The way of peace, they've not known. They've not known. There is no peace for the unbelieving. There is no peace without the faith of Jesus Christ. There is no peace without knowing Jesus Christ. This is the thing. Unbelievers don't know the way of peace. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by him. Amen. No man. The peace of God is the fruit of the Spirit. Says it. Third thing, love, joy, peace. Peace. Because true peace is not in a natural man, an unbelieving man. We all were there. If you believe now, at one time you were an unbeliever. And I'm not going to go into the fact that if you believe now, there's still unbelief in you. It's not what I'm talking about. Because Paul is talking about those who do believe Christ. And let me try and define this peace. At least the word here. I looked it up. You know the word peace here? It translates as peace. It does. But there's a couple other things. And one of them in particular I really like. It translates as peace. One of them it translates quietness. Quietness. No strife, no conflict, okay? But here's the one that got me when I was looking at this. Another definition for peace here, this word that Paul uses, is to set as one again. I like that. I like that. Now, not to sit as one, to be set as one. S-E-T. Oh, you understand? This is a work of God. This is a work of God. It's to we need to be set as one by God, with God. Let's be clear. You understand? The peace of God is entirely and completely one-sided. Man doesn't contribute anything to this peace. Man doesn't contribute anything. Man supplies nothing to this peace, because the peace of God is only known by believers, because the peace of God is given to believers by God. Now, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now the Lord of peace himself. Himself. You understand, if you want to talk about peace, if you want to talk about true peace, this is the place you have to start. You got to start with the Lord of peace. You got to start with the Lord of peace. You've got to start, and I'll say it right now, you got to start with the person of Jesus Christ. Because without the Lord of peace, there is no peace. Because the Lord of peace is the source of peace. The word here is kurios, which means the supreme. The supreme authority. The supreme control. He is the supreme authority of peace. I like that. John, Romans 16 verse 20 put it this way, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Who is said to bruise Satan? There's only one. There's only one. Seed of woman in Genesis. Seed of Abraham. And guess who the seed of Abraham is? It's not seeds as many, but seed as one. And that one is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of peace. He is the God of peace. Jesus Christ is the deity of peace. God's supreme authority, again, without him, there is no peace. He's the source. He's the source. He's the one who gives peace. And all true peace is of Jesus Christ and from Jesus Christ. Because peace is his. It's his peace. It's his peace. He said it himself. John 14 and verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace, the peace of Jesus Christ, what I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give you. Peace I leave and peace I give." He gives peace. And he gives his peace. How did he say it? All right. My peace. My peace. The Lord of peace. The God of peace. Peace is his to give. He is the source. The only source of peace. You know why? Because not only that, not only did he give it, he made it to start with.
That's
He made peace. Colossians 1 and verse 20. And having made peace. How? What? Through the blood of his cross. By him. Two. What's the purpose? To reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. What is that definition of that word peace again? One of the definitions? To set as one again. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. Unto himself. And that word where it says having made peace, that actually translates having the peacemaker. That's what it is. It's peacemaker. It's one word in the Greek. The peacemaker. He gives it. He's the source of it, and he gives it. Why? He's the one that made peace. This peace that we're talking about. Two things. In a very real sense, there was no peace with God until Christ shed his blood. He said he made peace by his blood. Not just his blood, but by the blood of his cross. Amen. By the blood of his cross. Paul writes it later, or in another epistle. What does he say? I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and what? Him crucified. The blood of his cross. The blood of his cross. And in a very real sense, there was no peace with God until Christ shed his blood. But then again, the second thing is, we've always had peace with God. We've always had the peace of God. Because you understand, when God chose us in Christ before the beginning of the world, before the foundations of the world, he chose us what? In Christ. And guess what? Jesus Christ is our peace. He is our peace. God chose us in Christ in peace. The peace that Christ would perform. The peace that Christ would provide. The peace that Christ gives to his people, to believers. Jesus Christ and him crucified made peace. And he is our peace. Ephesians 2. Personally, he is our peace. And the peace of God, this is Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, this is what makes this tough. I'm already told here, and I know it's true, the peace of God cannot be understood totally by the mind. Because where it says the peace of God passeth all understanding, the word there is surpasses. It is superior to our minds. It is superior to our understanding. There's no way we can grasp the totality of it because we are finite beings. And this, in our Lord Jesus Christ, is an infinite peace. I'll show that here in a little bit. But like I said, the word is superior to all our understanding. It passes our comprehension. You understand what that means? Think about this. Even believers don't really get it when they have it. But ain't that the truth of the grace of God? We don't comprehend it. All we got is what he has revealed to us. But here, take heart. It's his peace, and he's our peace, and he gives it to every son that he brings in. Every daughter, every child of God. Because here's the thing. Fear not, believers, the peace of God works. You understand? The peace of God works. Just like everything else of God works, the peace of God is successful. Romans 5 and 1 puts it this way. Therefore, being justified by faith, here it is, we have peace. But not just peace. We have peace with God. With God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being made righteous. Justified. Imparted and imputed. Righteousness. In God's sight, by His blood, by His faith, we have peace with God. You understand? God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have never been without peace toward His children. You understand? If God has peace towards you now, He's always had peace towards you. It's just you didn't know it. You didn't get it. The unbeliever has no peace. And we were all unbelievers at one time. Like I said, we were chosen in peace. What? We were chosen in the Lord of peace. For He, Jesus Christ, is our peace, and He came and preached peace to every believer, whether they were afar off or nigh. Jew or Gentile is the context there. That's also in Ephesians 2. And He reconciled both Jew and Gentile, what? To God. To God. In one body, by His cross, shedding His blood, making peace. And now He gives us peace. His peace. The Lord of peace. In Him, we have peace with God. The world doesn't understand what that phrase means. And I know I don't fully grasp, but here's the thing. The world doesn't understand they're at odds with God. They don't understand that they're striving against God. They don't understand they're in rebellion to God. But believers know they were. And believers still are sometimes. We fight. We strive. But that's our fault, not His. He's at peace with us through the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. In Him, in Christ, we have peace with God. So cease the fight. It wasn't much of one anyway. God won. God won. And so did every child of God. We won. We won. In His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, what did He tell us? My peace I give you. I give you. You don't earn it. Can't. There's no way. You don't earn His peace. He gives it. And He gives it freely by His grace. Like He's given. We have been given all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And one of those is peace with God. His peace. Sometimes, and to be honest, I don't know that I can truly preach peace. And I know I really can't explain it. Being set as one with God by Christ. He's reconciled us to the Father. He's my advocate right now on the right hand of the Majesty on high. But here I do know this from the Scriptures. The peace of God is the peace between God and His people. And it is the gift of God from the Lord Jesus Christ who has given it. You understand, I'm not going to tell you you're going to have peace with the world. You won't. The world will hate you, just like the world hated Christ. I can't even tell you that this will put peace within your family. Jesus Christ himself said, I come to bring division. I come to bring division. I didn't come to bring peace with your family. And I'm going to set at variance the mother and the daughter, the father and the sons, and every other combination you can come up with, brothers and sisters. Because this is not peace in your life that Paul's writing of here. Oh no. The peace of God is the peace of your life because of his life. It's actually the peace of his life. It's his peace he gives. But he gives it to you. And he gives it to all his believers. By faith, we have peace with God. Christ, who is our peace, reigns in our hearts and minds. Believers, like I said before, believers have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And his peace is one of those blessings. And Jesus Christ has given to all those who believe, his peace. His peace. Because all believers are in him. There's one good shepherd, there's one fold, and there's one flock. And what's he doing? He says, them I must bring. Those that are not in the flock now. Those that are not in the fold. He's going to bring them in. The Lord of peace, the God of peace, he is the one who makes us all believers. One. We are his body. And members in particular, but we are his body. In him we have peace. Because he is our peace. He is the one who makes us all in one. You have peace with God whether you feel it or not. You understand? Because it's his peace. He made it. And if he made it, it's perfect.